Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Welcome in, everybody. Good Friday morning. Man, it's Friday already, and that's awesome. We're just a couple of weeks away from the Christmas party. If you haven't heard, we're going to have the Klein's Christmas party on December 24th, and we're going to have a big time, and we're going to have food, and we're going to have beer, and we're going to have celebrations. We're going to have prizes. We're going to give away diamonds. We're going to give away watches. We're going to give away all kinds of stuff. So if you are off on December 24th or take off on December 24th, I think that's most people are getting off the 24th for their Christmas holiday, right?
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I think that's it because Christmas is on Saturday, so they're going to get Friday. You'll have a 3-day weekend.
I would think so.
Yeah. So I would think that's for the most part. So we're hoping y'all come out there and have a big time with us. We got a lot of plans. We got a lot of games and stuff to play. Not nearly as in the early days, the Christmas party was a lot of aggression, was a lot more physical.
So Jay Dirt used to bring Jello shots every year.
Well, Dez was bringing Jello shots last year. Unfortunately, she can't come this year.
Yeah, she can't come this year. Jay Dirt brought. Are you sure she can't come this year? She couldn't come to Kobo's thing. I think maybe she can come to Christmas.
No, I think she texted me and said I'm not going to be able.
Yeah. So she. Jay Dirt.
Maybe I was drunk. I don't know.
Jay Dirt would have Jello shots, and then Sweet Miller from Raging Bull Tailgaters would have the Battle Red Kool-Aid.
And then Kobo's came with the food as well. And it's just been on. We will have food out there this year, but it is going to be a good time had by all, followed by Nick's Place afterwards. So that's going to be fun. We head over to Nick's Place, as we always do, on Christmas Eve and have us a big, big time. So we're hoping that you can be a part of it. Nothing says Christmas like getting drunk in the morning. So we got the eggnog chug. We got all kinds of a good, clean fun for the whole family. So that'll be fun. I'm watching right here. Did you see the NCAA? Kenny Pickett is actually changing the rules of football.
Well, I've been waiting for somebody to do this. Every once in a while, you'll see a quarterback who will kind of fake like he's running out and then grab a couple, 2-3 extra yards and then go out of bounds. Yeah. This is the first time we saw, if you missed it, in the game against Wake Forest, it was a back-and-forth game with a lot of points scored. Kenny Pickett faked the slide. He didn't. He pulled
slowed
up,
down
he slowed
slide.
Down, and he and I don't think it was intentional. I think he just saw, my guess is that he saw the defender pull up and just said,
yep, now watch this.
Kind of like sometimes we see a fake punt where you see a punter, like he's looking at the front, and he sees everyone take off. He's like, and he just keeps walking. He's like, I think I'm going to run.
Yeah.
And Kenny here is he going to slide.
You see, he kind of, he pulls
yeah,
the ball
he pulls
back,
the body
like
back.
He's about to, yeah.
And he then, pulls the body back, and he realizes, this guy's pulled up. Let me just keep on going.
Yeah, he just kept on going, and he scored, and the NCAA said, nah, we can't do that. That you can't fake that you're going to, you can't fake slide because the ball the defenders have to pull up. It's really not fair. One of the best jukes of all time was the first time I've ever seen it was Dan Marino faking spiking the ball. You remember that against the Jets?
Yeah, I got beat by that.
You did?
Yeah, I had the Jets.
You had the Jets.
I'll never forget that loss. I was in Baton Rouge. That's one of those bad beats where the Jets and Boomer Esiason were looking good the entire time, and then out of nowhere, here comes. It was kind of like what happened with Big Ben yesterday, where the Steelers almost came back against the Vikings. We had an easy. It was an easy win. I had the right side, and all of a sudden, here comes Miami, and then he gets everyone lined up. He fake spikes, throws a back shoulder.
He kept telling everybody, I'm going to spike it, I'm going to spike it, I'm going to spike it, I'm going to spike it. And he goes up to the line, grabs it, fakes the spike, and pulls
little,
up
little
and throws
a back shoulder throw
to
whoever the receiver was. And I just remember thinking, this is the worst loss of my life. But that was in the mid-90s.
Right.
And I had my pigskin sports, my handicapping. So all my customers had that too. And I was like, oh, my God. This should have been easy. There's nothing worse than taking an easy winner at halftime and turning into a loser.
Right. Well,
nothing worse.
Man, nothing worse than seeing. I'm telling you, I told you before the show, I'm watching the game last night, and it's 23-0 at the half. What an idiot not jumping on Pittsburgh for the second half. You knew that they were just going to fling the ball around, throw the ball all over the place, and sure enough, they went down 29-0 and came back and could have won the game at the end if not for Chase Claypool is catching it today, boy. He's got a – it's a 4th-and-1 at the 43-yard line with 42 seconds left. He catches the first down, and he's pulling up with his first down signal, and he's and the center comes up, grabs the ball, and it falls on the ground, and it's rolling around all over the place. They finally get it to the center and spike the ball, and Chase Claypool's yelling at the center. It's like, what, Chase? And boy, did he catch it on Twitter. There's all kinds of Chase Claypool. Look, here's Chase Claypool with a 9-yard catch. Oh, no. Kids dancing. Yeah. Look at here's another one, Chase Claypool and our first down catch when his team's trying to spike the ball.
I mean, and here's the embarrassing thing. That's so not Steeler football. Like Chase Claypool, you know, he's really boys with Juju. And so, I know, that's Cole Swaraj, the guy in the blue there. He's from Baton Rouge. Like, he's turned into a huge,
he makes $9 million a month, I'll bet.
Forget
about
it.
Just dancing.
He can make, what we'll make in our career, he'll make in 2 months.
Right.
Easily.
These TikTok things are unbelievable.
LSU players love him. And, yeah, he was in a boxing format with TikTok stars versus... What? It was like YouTubers versus TikTokers. I'm like, can they both knock each other
and
out?
And guess what happens? 12 million people are watching.
Oh, yeah. No.
40
people,
million.
People watch. Yeah. That's what they're finding out now is it's, you know who? Like, Damon the Assassin Cruz versus Radilio Cook, the Nigerian mauler. And this, you know, and this is a real boxing match. Yeah. Pay-per-view. And like, both of them are undefeated. Here's the collective sports fans. Whatever.
Who cares?
Oh, now you got the one guy from TikTok who ate a whole thing of mayonnaise versus that one guy who does all the dances. 50 million people paying $10 a piece because that's what they want to see.
Yeah.
Sports is there's an investor who believes that people would rather watch a basketball game of social media influencers and celebrities than they would watch an NBA game between like the Heat and on any given day than the Miami Heat versus the Bucks.
I wonder how well the All-Star
I wouldn't want to
the NBA All-Star celebrity game does versus the game itself. You know they do that. You know they have Spike Lee bad actors, but you know whatever out there playing basketball. I'm not sure how that does, but. I can't stomach it, but that's me. 707 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Welcome into the show, everybody. Greg Cosello's going to join us at the bottom of the hour here, as he always does, to talk NFL football. Heather Dinich to talk some college football. And Adele Alole will join us as well to talk some college football here at the at 9:30. So we got a lot of stuff to do here on ESPN 97.5. You know, not much going on here in the city of Houston. Last night, Rutgers beat number one Purdue. And, you know, I don't know if you're into college basketball yet. It's actually pretty good. Usually it's, you know, it's going to be – last year it was just Gonzaga and Baylor. That was obvious that this was going to happen. This year it's pretty wide open. Duke is a really, really good basketball team. Purdue was number one in the country. Gonzaga has another good team and probably the player of the year and maybe the number one overall pick. So there's some intrigue this year to college basketball season. And last night, Rutgers, who had never, ever, ever beaten a number one team. Here's what happened at the end of the game via Rutgers radio.
3 seconds, no timeouts. Harper for the win! Oh! It counts at the buzzer! They reviewed it, they say it's good, and Rutgers, in the most improbable of ways, has their first win over a number one ranked team in program history.
That's not the one we heard.
No, that's not the one we heard. We heard.
Where's the one we heard?
The guy just kept going.
Is it a different broadcast?
He just kept screaming, let's go.
He says it like five times.
It's just edited. Yeah. He just cut it up. It was, that was the TV one? Oh, the Rutgers radio is really, really.
Really good.
It's really good. Really good. It's on Yardbarker. You got it? Here's the radio call.
Get it to Stefanovic. Inside Williams with seven. One-on-one with Amori. Gets inside. Puts it up and in with 3.4 to go. Get it to Harper with three, with two, with one. Harper for the win. Got it!
Let's go!
Let's go! Harper Jr.
Let's go!
Game winner at the buzzer.
Let's go!
And Rutgers upsets number one Purdue 70-68.
Let's go!
First time in program history that they have beaten a number one team. But they're going to check the tape.
And the tape was good.
Scoring baskets.
Once again, radio better than television.
Way television. Way better. And, and actually people were at a Rutgers basketball game because the floor was swamped. It was swamped. And you could see in the stands that there were actually people that, when you play a number one team and you actually have a decent basketball team and you have a chance to win and finally win a big game in your – I wonder if it was like when Kansas led Oklahoma and they just let everybody in for free.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
At halftime, Kansas was up 14-0 or 16-0. Remember Oklahoma?
And they said, come on in, guys.
Everybody, gates are open, free. Just
how do
come.
You let people know that they can come up? Like, how did –
They tweeted
Kansas social media.
Yeah, right.
Well, I guess, you know what? Think about this. You just think, who would be following Kansas social media? That's the same social media account for the basketball team, too.
Yeah, right.
So they got a lot of people who follow the basketball team.
Right. Well,
Kansas is very much a basketball state, kind of like Indiana.
Yeah.
Kansas is real. You know, my grandma went to two Final Fours. I've told the story before. Some of you may not have heard it, but she was passionate about basketball. She got a satellite dish in the 80s because she could get basketball games.
Grandma?
So she would, Grandma Stevens. Grandma Stevens would watch basketball. She
This is the one that lopped heads off chickens.
No, that's Grandma Zerline.
Okay.
I'm
confused.
Now, Grandma Stevens, I've got a video of when she was in hospice and I went and saw her for the last time. We were talking and she was reminiscing about seeing Dean. She was at the 80.
Oh, yeah,
two
she loved
Final
the
Four?
Dream Team. I mean, she loved the Five Slam Pajama.
Yeah. My mom went and saw them play against North Carolina, and she said Dean Smith, she saw him sneaking cigarettes after the game beside some stands real quick. She was telling me that. But, yeah, she loved Denny Crum for whatever and his Louisville teams. But she was a huge basketball fan. So they're big basketball fans in Kansas. They're big basketball fans. So – I guess you just got a hold of some basketball fans and said, hey, something weird's happening for the football team.
Yeah.
Like, we've got a football team? We do.
Yeah. Let's go see.
They're beating Oklahoma.
712 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Interesting. Lovie Smith had an interesting take on Zach Cunningham.
Yes,
we'll play
did.
It on the other side here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for me to talk right now about mybookie.ag promo code bet975. Listen. You can refer a friend and get just $250 in free play. All you have to do, hey, refer a friend. If somebody wants to play, you go, hey, just put in my name that I referred you, and you're gonna get $250. It's that simple. It's unbelievable how easy it is. So if you're on my bookie now, go get some people. Get four guys. You get an extra $1,000 worth of play. They're paying you to find people for them to go to mybookie.ag promo code bet975. It's the best place to play. If you love it, if you like it, all you got to do, if you want to bet, it's the best place. There's no question. It is the place for you to get on. It's easy to navigate. It is so awesome. If you haven't played it before, and listen, the website is tremendous. It can't be easier. And you get all of the odds that you want in all of your parlays and everything else. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag promo code bet975.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, it's time to get rid of those old aluminum windows that are inefficient and making your house cold when the weather changes. Stop looking all over for high-quality windows and get with my friends who've got great windows at affordable prices. Call Allstate Windows and Siding. Allstate Windows and Siding will replace your old windows. Their exemplary customer service and high-quality products truly enhance not only the appearance of your house, but also the energy efficiency as well. They're battle-tested to withstand the elements here in Houston, the winds, the rain, the excessive heat, and sometimes the really excessive cold as well. Take advantage of the great Allstate Windows and Siding offer going on right now. Get 25% off your windows when you mention ESPN 97.5 and Lance Zierlein. Do that today. Home and virtual appointments are available, and they have got generations of family members who have owned this and who work for the company. Do not miss out on this opportunity. Remember, Allstate Windows and Siding, that's 832-204-1936, 832-204-1936, or go to the website for more information and to see their amazing products at allstatewindowsandsiding.com.
You found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm just reading a story here, but Connor Wiegman out of the kid that's, won the Touchdown Club Player of the Year Award. He played for Bridgeland, the quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a big-time prospect. Another Aggie. By the way, this is the third time in 4 years.
I think that's the kid that was out when my brother's team beat them.
Yes.
They benefited from that.
Yeah, they definitely benefited from him not playing. But he was the Offensive Player of the Year for the Touchdown Club just the other night, on Wednesday night. Devon Achane was in 2019. Kenyon Green in 2018. So they picked up three of the last four Player of the Year at Texas A&M.
So you're telling me there's something going on here?
Well, yeah. It looks like, you know what? Texas A&M is getting – they're going to finish right now. Right now they're in the top three of recruiting in the country. So they're having a big class. They're having a big time. And they just picked up a kid that was going to Oklahoma and now has decided to go to Texas A&M. So they're doing it. Jimbo is really he's
Well, they say he's on pace now to, quote-unquote, win. Recruiting for this year.
Yeah,
like he's on right pace now to be number one, right?
Yeah. Well, he's going to have a top three class. Alabama's always going to be tough to beat, but Clemson got a kid, the number one kid in the country, number one quarterback, I guess, in the country, Cade Klubnik, and then Alabama got the number two guy, and Texas A&M got the number three guy. This is according to SI99. So we'll see. But it'll be interesting to see what happens because Haynes King is coming back. And we'll see what happens with
Calzada.
Calzada.
Oh, he moved to tight end or something.
No, he's not moving to tight end.
You can't stay.
No, probably not. He already transferred? Stay. No. He's can't stay. But I'll tell you this, with Haynes King coming back and Wiegman Wiegman coming in. Yeah.
Yeah, he's done. They wasn't good enough.
You mean the kid that beat Alabama's done?
Yeah, the kid that lost to Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Arkansas, LSU. Yeah, he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Jimbo, let me put it this way. You keep having years like Calzada gave you, and Jimbo will find out that the flames will get hot, although there's nothing you can do, Aggies. Y'all gave him like a 40-year deal. So 40-year, $500 million deal, and we're ready to give him more if he wants it. I mean, you got to have some confidence in your program.
No, man.
That's a hell of an offer you gave him the first time out. Stop getting so nervous all the time about everything.
All right, so yesterday, Lovie Smith met the media.
Well, first of all, Zach Cunningham was claimed off waivers by the Titans.
Okay.
He is going to be a Tennessee Titan, so he can get all that.
How do you think he's
going to
feel in that last game of the year here?
Oh, when he's getting tackles 3.5, 4 yards into the backfield, into his own backfield, it's going to be amazing. Like, Zach Cunningham with his 20th tackle with 85 yards gained at all time. A season high. The second highest total the Texans have posted.
Oh, really? You think so? I'm going to bet against that. Even against Zach Cunningham will be able to hit guys at the line of scrimmage.
Could the Texans run on the Texans? I don't think so.
I don't think the Texans.
I'm not sure they can run on anybody.
They can't run on anybody, dude.
Yeah.
No.
Does Laramie Tunsil still play?
Yeah. Well, that's a question because
I'm check his Instagram.
He was supposed to be out 5 weeks, and it was 8 weeks
ago. Check his Instagram
ago.
So I can get some information on Laramie.
See what he's wearing.
I'll find out.
See what Laramie's wearing today.
He'll have a video about the grind never stops or something where we'll get to see what hard work he's putting in. Well, here's a picture. Let's see how long. Well, this is November 18th. This is during the time. Let's see. Real low key. I'd be out the way. Okay. David Bellamy says, I'll take the Chardonnay with the Kobe steak. Lonnie Johnson says, the middle finger. Get me every time, because he's doing a middle finger. The rest of the team loves it. They love this picture of him next to his car.
What is he doing? Is he just standing ready there to play football?
Here is.
Is he working out?
Now, did he play October 16th, or was he out then too? He was had to have been playing.
October. It's 8 weeks now since he's played, so it's right in that neighborhood.
More drip than Steve Harvey. I don't know if he is playing here or not, but he's at some high rise standing on a flower bed.
Good for him.
Well, over top of the city.
Hey, the guy's probably, hey, get out of my flower
That's what
bed.
He says, more
hey,
drip.
Badass, get out of my flower bed.
That's a, and then Mark Ingram puts the crown on him. He gives him a crown. His team is so stupid. I mean, his team is literally, they spend more time, the players are just full of, like, they're just Lonnie Johnson, drippy. I swear to God, we got players who can't play are out on the field, and all they care about is getting to the Instagram comments. You just want some dogs. You just want a team full of dogs. Do dogs always post on people's Instagrams?
When was the last time you played there? 2 months from today.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
well,
8 weeks now. It's exactly 8 weeks. He was supposed to be out five.
To his credit, he's only posted twice since he was out.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I give him credit.
Well, Zach Cunningham is no longer with us. He's now in Tennessee. And Lovie Smith doesn't seem too upset. I know. I was surprised Cully was like, hey, how hard was it to cut? Not at all. It was easy. It was pretty damn easy. And now here's Lovie Smith talking about the divorce.
You know, I kind of talk about the guys on our team now. Sometimes, pretty simple, sometimes divorce is a good thing. And you move on. It's good for both parties. As far as what we're going to do going forward, you know, we've had to play this way for a while. Had to play this way Sunday. Kamau Grugier-Hill has stepped up every time we've asked him to change his role, sometimes on short notice. Last week, Kevin Pierre-Lewis has gotten reps. Garrett Wallow was able to get reps. It was good getting Kristen Kirksey back. Neville Hewitt. So we'll go forward with those guys and feel good about
them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's got to adjust. You've got to get into Garrett Wallow. And then, and you know what? And hey, Grugier Hill came in. What did he do? 20 tackles, a Texans record. What? That's right. 20 tackles in that 31-0 loss. So, yeah, eat that. Eat that, Zach Cunningham. Yeah, it's a divorce. And we don't want you around no more. Sometimes divorces are good. They're good for both parties, and especially in this case. This is
for
the
Lovie
guy.
To say, I'm something was going something on was where up. He was a bad guy in the locker room.
And this is
they
the
couldn't
same
have
guy
him in there.
That Bill O'Brien was praising for his care. This is the kind of guy we want around here that we're going to give big money to. These are the guys that you build around. A character guy. He mentioned character twice about him, that he was such a character guy. That's in such a good football player. These are the guys that you build around. 2 years later, they get rid of him because they can't stand him in the locker room. How has that happened?
Mm-hmm.
How in the world are you such a great character guy that we're giving you a huge contract to? We can't have you around. We want a divorce. That it wasn't. It was easy to cut him because he was such a bad guy.
I don't know. I mean they missed. They miss the character. The character is what happens when I sound like a dad now. Character is what happens. Your
hey,
character
Lancey.
Is determined whenever. And my dad actually told me this when I was younger. Yeah. Character is determined by not how you respond to good things, but how you respond to adversity. And but it is true. Like team adversity, how you respond, it's that will determine who you are. And this, and let's be honest, this is as much adversity as you're going to find. It's a team full of Band-Aid guys who are journeymen from other teams who are probably not going to be in the league within 2 or 3 years. You don't really have a great chance of winning. And how do you respond? If you're one of the highest paid players on the team and you're one of the leaders of the team, are you going to, you know, can you keep things afloat even if you're not winning? Can you keep things? I just know that Detroit appears to continue to play hard. The Lions, the Lions keep playing hard.
Yeah,
they've been in several games with a chance to win. They finally got one.
And there's no way that Dan Campbell gets fired this offseason.
No,
not
can't.
The way they
it's
play
one,
for him.
It's just one year, man. You give this guy a chance.
No. And, and especially the way they play for them.
Yeah, they're playing.
I mean, they play hard. They just have had so many heartbreaking. And they come back the next week and play hard again.
They're playing.
And they're in games. And it's unbelievable. How often do they cover?
Decent.
They're big underdogs a lot.
Decent. Yeah, decent cover. I have to check.
And actually, the Texans are actually not as bad as you think as far as covering. Well, I think they covered four or five times this year.
It's getting bad.
It's getting bad.
They're on a bad trend right now.
But it's just so amazing how piss poor and Nick Casario. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Culley's not back next year. I mean, it's just, and that's 1 year, and this is Nick Casario's first ever decision here is on the head coach, and it couldn't be worse. It couldn't be worse. Well, he just wanted incompetence there so that he could, or at least someone that would be his puppet. So that he could just, you know, pull all the strings and know everyone in the building knows that Nick Casario is running this show and not the head coach. He didn't want any. Do you think David Culley ever pushes back on Nick Casario? Yes, sir. That's the way we'll do it, sir.
No. There's but zeros. You shouldn't. Well, I don't think it's his job to push back on Nick Casario. Nick Casario's job is to build. Nick Casario needs to stay out of the coaching, and Nick and Culley stays out of the personnel stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be the clear division.
Well, we've seen Casario on the field coaching.
Well, we've seen him on the field. I don't know if he's coaching so much as he's right there with the position group. I can tell you that. He's been a coach now.
He was a coach.
To be fair, David, he has been a coach with New England. David Culley has never been a personnel guy.
That's true.
He's never even been a head coach or a coordinator.
That is true. But this is what a bungling, stumbling, just a comedy of errors this organization is. It's just getting worse, and I didn't think it could possibly get worse. Greg Cosell is joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. He's the inside information. The information that he has is second to none, so stay with us and learn something about NFL football. Right now, though, it's GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com. John Clay Wolf is the best. You know, if he was here right now, I don't know what he would talk about. I know he wouldn't talk about buying your car. But so let me talk about it. He bought, what did he say? $1.5 billion worth of cars last year. $1.5 billion worth of cars last year. That's a lot of cars. At about 30,000 each, he said. That's a lot of cars, people. And it's just amazing. You know why he buys so many cars? It's because he gives more money than anybody else does. And that's all it is. He's playing blackjack. Okay, do I win on this hand? No. Ooh, I took a loss on that. Oh, well. You know what? Come back. Ooh, I'm going to get a win on this one. He goes to auction and he sells them, and he's playing roulette. That's what he does. He plays roulette, whether or not, I'm not sure I'm going to get as much for this car. Well, didn't get that one, but made some on this one. It's amazing how he does it, but he does it every single time. What he does is he gives you more for your car, and then he takes the chance. You don't have to take the chance. Get more for your car at GimmeTheVin.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Time to talk some NFL with NFL Film Zone Greg Cosell on the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Hi, welcome back. As he does every week, senior producer for NFL Films and NFL analyst Greg Cosell joining us to talk NFL football, what we just saw and what we will see this weekend. Greg, welcome back to the show. How are you?
John, what's going on?
Just great. We're looking forward to another big weekend. We got some good games on the slate, but let's talk a little bit about what happened last weekend. Let's talk about this Chargers team. That Chargers-Bengals game, very interesting game. The Bengals actually played well and ended up losing by 19 points, but it was much closer than that because of the turnovers that they had there, Greg. And Joe Burrow played pretty damn well for a good football game.
Yeah, I mean, they fell behind big early, and then they kind of came back. And if it wasn't for the mix and fumble, who knows what would have happened. It got to be a pretty interesting game. I think that the Bengals, a couple of things are going on with the Bengals and their offense and how teams are playing them. I think over the last month or so, teams have started to play much more over the top of Ja'Marr Chase when he lines up as the boundary X, the single receiver to the short side of the field. And I think that's one reason why his targets have gone down and his production has gone down. Now, obviously, he dropped what likely would have been about a 70-yard touchdown this week. But for the most part, that's what we're seeing on tape. And I think that's one reason we're seeing more targets for T. Higgins on the other side, because normally it's trips to the other side opposite Chase. And we'll see how they continue to handle that. We'll see. I would assume this week San Francisco, because they have issues at corner, will play a lot of split safety zone, looking to do the same kind of thing that teams have been doing with Chase, and hope their pass rush can be a factor.
Yeah, that's a good matchup, isn't it? That's a sneaky good game. Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.
Yeah, I think Greg, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I thought I lost you there.
Yeah, no, that's a sneaky good game.
It's a sneaky good game, but one of the reasons that the Bengals right now are a team that would scare me if I have to see them, Burrow's been a little inconsistent at times. Chase hasn't been the same factor, but man, Joe Mixon is running like crazy right now. That running game is really going.
Yeah, it's interesting, Lance, because you certainly know more about O-line than I do, but I'm always fascinated. I think their O-line has been run blocking extremely well. They're not very good in pass protection, though. So that always fascinates me when a unit is really good in one area and not good in another. But they have become a foundational zone running team. And I guess that makes perfect sense, because I know Zach Taylor's background. I know he has a Sean McVay background. So they're a zone running team, and Mixon's been running really well. He's a big back. He's got pretty good feet. You wouldn't say he's totally shifty, but he's not just pure straight line. And he's got some explosiveness to him. So, to me, that has sort of become the foundation. We focus on Burrow, but I think they're at their best when their run game is really the starting point of what they do.
Mm-hmm. Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And another really good game this week is the Buccaneers and the Bills. And the Bills just can't run. Without Josh Allen being Superman, Greg, how do they beat this Buccaneers team?
And, John, you made a great point there that a lot of people are losing sight of. They are pretty much, with what they have on offense, they do not have a very good O-line, either in run blocking or in pass pro, and they have no run game. So every week, literally every play, it's Josh Allen has to be great. And no matter how talented you are, and I personally think he's the most physically gifted quarterback in the league, but you just can't play like that and expect your quarterback to be great every snap. But here's a thought that I have for this game. Obviously, they have to be able to protect. It doesn't matter what kind of offense they run. You have to protect. But it wouldn't surprise me if they spread it out a bit in this game for this reason. Go four wide, because the Bucs do not play with six defensive backs. Todd Bowles has only played with six defensive backs 11 snaps all season. So I'm wondering if they go four wide receivers, which, by the way, was a staple of their offense a year ago, and they haven't done quite as much this year, and see if that and sort of see how Todd Bowles and the Bucs defense will play that. Will he maybe change and go to dime with 60 Bs? Will he stay with David and White on the field, the two linebackers who are both very good, and play high-percentage zone, which they play anyway? They do not play a lot of man coverage. But it all comes then down to protection. You've got to be able to protect to some degree.
Is that a product of White and David being so good?
You mean as to why he does not go dime? Yeah, I don't know the specific answer to that, but he probably feels that his best 11 in those situations involve David and White as opposed to a sixth defensive back. I would assume that's the case, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get into New England, and I want to talk specifically about the game for a second, and then the pathways that Buffalo is taking and New England's taking. I'm not out on Buffalo completely, but Buffalo's inability to run and New England's ability to run was never on more display than on that horrific weather game. Weather games are going to potentially play a part in the postseason as well, and that doesn't change what Buffalo's weakness is and what New England's strength is.
No, and it's funny because, to be honest with you, the more I've thought about that game, okay, I actually think that Belichick would have done the same thing if the weather was beautiful. I think he believed that, number one, they could run, and number two, that Buffalo's offense could not score on his defense. I really believe that. Now, again, three three pass attempts. I don't know. You know, you never know what the number would be. But I think conceptually his game plan would have been the same. It would have been fascinating, Lance, to see what would have happened if Stephon Diggs caught that ball in the middle of the third quarter for a touchdown. That would have put Buffalo ahead. I mean, then it would have been fascinating to see what plan B would have been. If there was a plan, there had to be a plan B. Belichick's not going into a game with just one way to play. But they never needed a plan B, and I believe that was their approach, and that was their template, and I think they would have done that regardless of the weather.
Three passes, 19 yards. Unbelievable. Of course,
I know.
In that win, though, it was that, you know.
They played 30 snaps with six offensive linemen, John, and they played 25 snaps with a fullback. So, you know, and they only ran, I think, 46 plays. So if you subtract five Mac Jones runs, of which I think three were sneaks and two were kneel downs, that means they had 41 plays. Stevenson and Harris carried the ball on 34 of those 41 plays.
Unbelievable. And they won the football game. But they did it defensively as well. And in that wind, you know, can't throw the ball around. And again, it's amazing. Why isn't Devin Singletary better? It's all about that offensive line. They're just not. It's all about that offensive line.
I think you do have to look at the backs as well. I mean, look, they thought they were addressing their run game a year ago when they drafted Zach Moss in the third round, and they thought he'd give them what he essentially was at college. Lance knows, you know, he watched his tape and broke him down. He was kind of an inside tough grinder. I always thought in some ways he and David Montgomery were kind of similar type backs, you know, tough, physical, competitive inside runners. It hasn't worked out so far. Moss has not been that guy in the NFL. It's always hard to, unless you're there, to really know if it's the O-line, the back, what the relationship is between those two things. But the bottom line is they can't run the ball.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think, personally, I got a problem with how the O-line's put together over there. I think they've got mismatched parts. But you know, I still also thought Zach Moss was going to be much more impactful than he has been up to this point. It's just, you know, Josh Allen, you do wonder. What we're starting to see, Greg, is there's fewer and fewer quarterbacks that we thought could handle the heavy lifting of being the guy and putting everything on their shoulder. That's a difficult task. As a matter of fact, I was driving around yesterday thinking about this. It just tells you what I think about when I'm driving.
I'm the same way, believe me, Lance. I get it.
But two years ago, we would have said, okay, here's the good young quarterback. Sorry, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. Well, immediately, Carson is solid. Goff looks like he needs to go. But when you start running down the list of quarterbacks, it looks a little less glamorous than it did a couple of years ago. There's more questions now about a lot of these quarterbacks than we expected. And maybe the quarterbacking isn't in the upward mobility phase that we necessarily thought it was going to be.
Unless it's the view of people, you know, like us who talk about it, and media, and the idea that these guys have to be great every single
right.
snap. And if they're not, then all of it, it's like Justin Herbert. You know, Justin Herbert isn't great every week, and then I start getting asked questions, what's wrong with Justin Herbert? You know, we study every play like it defines Western civilization, you know, and I think that's just unrealistic.
Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll have him on the other side. We'll talk about that Cowboys game, which is turning into a big football game. Who thought 4 weeks ago that this Washington-Dallas game was going to be important? But it's kind of a big deal now. Yeah, it's huge. So we will talk about that on the other side with Greg Cosell. And right now I'm talking about my man Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite, and the just doing big stuff for you. And he's done big stuff for us, and he's done big stuff for plenty of our listeners, and he's going to do big stuff for you, too. It's got to be, it's got to be a big job. He's not coming over and replacing some bricks or, you know, maybe the molding on your countertops. He's just not doing, that's not it. What he's doing is he's replacing those countertops. He's replacing those cabinets. He's replacing that flooring. He's replacing, redoing your entire outdoor patio or doing it or putting in an entire outdoor kitchen or an entire bathroom. How about an outdoor bathroom? He can do that as well. plumbing, it doesn't matter what it is, Jeff Aronoff, if it's construction-wise, Jeff Aronoff is going to get that job done for you, and he's going to remodel it, and he's going to make it so much better. And if you don't put, if you've had your home or business for 10, 15, 20 years, and you're not upgrading, then you're behind, pal. Let's go. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Cookies for Santa, it's here. It's going to happen tomorrow, 11 to 1 at Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC. I'm going to take my daughter, Mariana, out there, and we're going to have some cookies, and we get a goodie bag. Everyone who goes out there is going to get a goodie bag. They get cookies. You have a really great time getting pictures with Santa, so they do have the Santa out there from 11 to 1. And it's something that they've done 9 years now, and it's a lot of fun. Drive out to Angleton. While you're there, of course, if you like, you can check out the trucks that they have in stock right now, the cars, the SUVs, the crossover vehicles. They have them all waiting for you, and whether they're on the lot or they're on the way, they can give you their great dealer cashback incentives. They've got this red tag bonus that's out there, $500 off the red tag vehicles. You can check that out while you're out there at the Cookies for Santa. But this is a great opportunity to do something with your kids. If you're looking for something, make sure you head out to Angleton, get your pictures, get your cookies, and have a little fun on Saturday afternoon. Go to LanceZCars.com to get more information and check out their entire inventory.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We've got Greg Cosell with us breaking down NFL football. We've got a lot of Cowboy fans in the city, Greg. So let's talk a little bit about this football game. I've never seen where the backup running back, alleged backup running back, is such a big deal. With plantar fascia, he's got issues. He's a game time decision as Tony Pollard, but you can make the argument that Tony Pollard's been better than Ezekiel Elliott this year. I don't know that it's even arguable with the yards per carry and the way that he's run the football this year. So kind of a big deal if Tony Pollard is not available in this football game.
Yeah, I think over the last month or so, the tape kind of tells me that their O-line has not been real good at generating any kind of consistent push in the run game. So they spent the first 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season having a really strong run game, and certainly Zeke was a part of that. And that was really their foundation for the first month of the season or so. Their first down rushing numbers were off the charts. That's gone away. So they've not really been able to run the ball. I mean, Pollard has more juice than Zeke, but even Pollard has not necessarily put up big numbers over the last month or so. Obviously, he had the long run last week, which was kind of a fluky outside run, not really an inside type run. So they've struggled to run the ball, and I think it's impacted their pass game as well, and I think their offense has been a little bit uneven.
Yeah, this is, it's a weird time for the Cowboys because it starts feeling like that same. If I'm a Cowboy fan, I'm getting a little nervous here because we've seen this act over the last couple decades. This kind of thing has popped up with Dallas where they don't play their best football at the end of the year. I mean, they blew it last year. Here they are in a position where Tyler Heinicke has a chance, there's no Chase Young there defensively anymore.
But they're better defensively.
They're playing much better, especially in the secondary. And finally, their front is playing like their front is supposed to because they've got so much talent on the front, even beyond Chase Young. But, man, I'll tell you what, Dallas has got to find a way to – they've got to find a way to become a more explosive offensive team for all of the talent that they have. Like, it's very strange to see them go into the dumps offensively at different times. Is it more on Dak right now? Is it on Kellen Moore? Is it the running game being a little inconsistent? What's going on?
Yeah, that's a tough call. I mean, I think the run game has clearly been a factor. They've not been able to run the ball very much. And I think Dak's been a little uneven as well. Obviously, they had lost, Cooper was out for a couple of games. Lamb missed a game. So they were playing with backup receivers. But they've just been very uneven in the pass game. And it's kind of surprised me because I think Dak, for the most part, is a really good player. but he's been a little inconsistent. I think his ball placement has not been quite as good this year, which is an area in which he had improved incrementally each and every year, and I think it's not been exactly the same. I don't think, and maybe it's due to the injury he had a year ago, but I don't think you see him taking advantage of running opportunities the way he used to, which always seemed to add, you know, just that little bit of spice to the Cowboys offense where he'd run and get, you know, 10 yards on third and eight. You don't really see that, and maybe he's concerned about getting injured again. I'm actually very curious about their defense, guys, because I believe, based on tape study, that the best edge pass rusher in the NFL right now is Micah Parsons, and they're getting all their players back. They got Lawrence back last week. They're going to get Gregory and Gallimore back this week. What are they going to do with Micah Parsons? You know, if he's a stacked backer on first down, that's fine. But he's been the best edge pass rusher in the NFL, and are they not going to use him that way? Their last game was a little bit of an anomaly because it was Taysom Hill, and they used Parsons as a spy because of who Taysom Hill is. But as they continue to go on this season, what will Parsons' role be when it's a long yardage? To me, he needs to be a pass rusher. But again, we'll see what Dan Quinn believes.
Yeah, interesting. He's banged up a little bit too this week, so we'll see if he's going to be how many snaps he's going to get this week, because Michael Parsons is a little banged up. The Redskins defense these last 4 weeks, during this four-game win streak, 15 points, 15 points, 21 yep. points, 19 points. That's much better. Early in the season, they were giving up 29, 43, 34, 33, 31. What's the difference now?
Well, starting with the Bucs game, which was their first win in this four-game winning streak, Washington made a dramatic tactical change. They were playing heavy man coverage through their first part of the season, and starting with the Bucs game, they've now been heavy, heavy zone defense. They really only play man on third down and not all third downs. They are heavy zone. They've gone to big nickel as their foundational base defense. I know Collins missed last week, but I believe he's due back this week. So big nickel has become their base defense. So those are two major changes. And then when you watch the tape, you see Payne and Allen on the inside. They have been absolutely dominant over the last month. And I think you're starting to see the emergence of Jamin Davis, the rookie linebacker from Kentucky, who is 6'3", 235, and very athletic. And he's starting to really emerge. So that's really helped them as well. So there's been clear differences tactically and then just individually with players playing at a really high level.
Let's talk about the Texans. No, I'm just kidding. But we'll stay in the division.
I don't believe they scored last week, did they?
No. First they time almost, ever at home, Greg, they didn't score.
Well, they did have Brandon Cook. They did hit one wide receiver. Brandon Cooks had three catches. The rest of them were tight ends and running backs.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. He almost got two receivers with catches.
Yeah, but we got one, so what do you want?
A little bit of futility.
You're asking for a lot there.
On the other
side. Who's
going to
start at quarterback this week?
Davis Mills. Tyrod Taylor's wrist is hurt.
Okay, so allegedly. It'll be back to Davis Mills this
alleged,
week.
Alleged, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter who the quarterback
is. It's been
is.
So bad. Greg, you can't be watching. Now, I know you are a film nut.
Well, it's funny
you can't
you guys
be watching
say that
the Texans
game. I actually do some radio in Seattle, so I have to watch the Texans. I guess I shouldn't say unfortunately,
yeah,
but I have to at least see to make sure. Like I watched their defense this week against the Colts, and I'm glad I did because I had to see who the third linebacker was. You know, because obviously Cunningham, you know, was in the doghouse and he's gone and the whole deal. So I had to see who their third linebacker was in base. And now,
hey,
now
that brings up a question. So I know for a fact that you've talked to a lot of former coaches, current coaches. So you've talked to football people over the years, guys who have played the game, guys like Ron Jaworski you've been tight
yep.
with, who have been leaders in locker rooms. Can you talk about what they've told you, the balance between a guy who has talent versus a guy who is a real problem in a locker room? Because the discussion here in Houston is about culture, 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 and clearly this isn't a talented team. But building culture is that's always an interesting challenge of balancing different personalities in a locker room and figuring out who the guys
yeah.
are in true trouble
well,
versus guys who have edge.
It's funny you say that because, you know, Jaws played for Dick Vermeil, he played for Don Shula, and he played for Marty Schottenheimer. And maybe there was another in there somewhere, but those are the big names. And, you know, and And Jaws would always say, and it was a different era. So it's, again, players were different then. As you know, today it's with social media and with guys being able to make a ton of money at an early age. Now college guys can make a ton of money. It's different because Jaws would always say that certain things would never happen under Dick Vermeil or Marty Schottenheimer, you know, in terms of players acting a certain way or saying certain things or, you know, and now players kind of say whatever they want. They act however they want. And if they're really good players, you know, you need them. So I think it's a different era and just a different world. And, I'm not making a judgment as to whether it's good or bad. Certainly for guys to make a ton of money, that's a great thing. You know, that's we none of us, I would imagine, have a problem with that. But in terms of a team where you're in a locker room, you know, and that's a hard question for me to answer because I think you have to be there every day. You know, people sometimes ask me, not you guys, but people would ask me, you know, what's his character like? You know, and I'm like, I can't answer that. You know, you got to be there every day to know that. I can't speak to what a guy's character is or whether he's a leader. You know, you got to be in the room. So that's a hard question. But now guys have so many interests, so many ways to make money, so many ways to get their name out there. I imagine it's a tough deal.
Yeah, and it's especially hard here. What the Texans they nominated Justin Reed as Player of the Year the week after they suspended him for a game. So it's really weird.
That. Yeah. So I mean that's weird. And look, the losing makes it really really hard too because it's just human nature when you play sports. If you lose, players point to the coaches. The coaches are bad. They don't want to listen to the coaches. You know, because what are they telling me? You know, what they're telling me is not working. I mean, you know, there's so many dynamics there, so many, and you know, just looking at the roster, I mean, you guys are down there, but looking at the roster, who would be viewed as veteran leader types on the team?
That's what I wondered too.
I think Kirksey and
but Cunningham should be. He's a guy. Kirksey just came on your team this year. Shouldn't you count on the guy who's been here for 4 years?
Yeah,
who's got one of the biggest contracts? That's an example.
They can't be happier
why this organization is a loser organization right now. Yep. They don't have leadership.
Yep. Finally, before you go, the Rams kind of turned it around last week against the Jaguars, but it was the Jaguars. They got the Cardinals this week in a big, big game on Monday Night Football. What another nice Monday Night Football game that we got. And have they had enough time to incorporate Odell and get Robert Woods
Well, it's funny you say that because that's the critical piece here because they made a huge change this week in their offense. They played with 16 snaps with six offensive linemen, and normally that's something Sean McVay would never even think about. And you can say it was the Jaguars, but the Jaguars front seven has had some good moments this year over the last month. So they ran the ball out of six O-linemen. But the other reason I think they did that is – and this is a change that people might not think is a big deal, but it is a big deal, is Robert Woods was their Z receiver, meaning he was their movement motion receiver. The Z receiver lines up off the ball and he can move. The X receiver lines up on the ball and he can't move. So they made a change. Van Jefferson was their X. Woods got hurt. They have now moved Van Jefferson to the Z. He's now the movement motion receiver because Odell Beckham is now the X on the ball. That's what Beckham is. So that's a change that they're sort of incorporating and integrating in the middle of a season. And I think they feel that, hey, it's easier now to try to run the ball and, you know, let's put six offensive linemen out there, which I think you'll continue to see against the Cards on Monday night.
Let's see. Let's hope. Let's see. This Cardinal team's been good. We'll find out whether or not they can handle this one.
I keep waiting for them to fall off, but it's not really happening. It's credit to Kingsbury and Murray and the leaders on the team. Maybe that's why you have guys like J.J. Watt. I mean, you look in their locker room, they got some guys you would consider character guys who can maybe pull you through. We talk about leadership and stuff. You got some leadership guys on that side of the, you know, on that team. So maybe that's one of the reasons.
And the other factor which Houston doesn't have, obviously, is I think even if you have some issues in your locker room, if you have the quarterback that people believe can win for you any given week, then I think that changes the dynamic, even if you've got a few bad guys.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Greg Cosell every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, great talking to you again, Greg, and we will talk to you again next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
There it is, Greg Cosell here on the program. Talking right now about HRP, HRP.net, 281-880-6525. It's getting to the end of the year right now. This is a great time for you to give them a call. Let them look about at everything you've done and let them transition over into the new year. I don't know that you're going to be able to get it done by the new year, but you, what you can do is get, you know, in January, you guys can be up full and running with HR&P, and it is so good, people. I'm telling you, if you're doing your payroll yourself, don't. If you've got 15 or more employees, you're wasting money with having people that are doing this. And if they're not perfect at it, if they're not great, nobody's great at HR. So listen, don't make mistakes at HR yourself because you could lose your business. Let the people at HR&P take care of your HR because it's that important. And then there's the taxes and the Affordable Care Act, which is so important. And then the small business loans and the PPP and everything else that's been going on. Are you taking care of it right? Are you getting it done? If you're not, our guys are. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.